If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's time to talk to our friend Lou Manfredini. He's Mr. Fix-It. He gives us the Lou to-do list every Monday. And in fact, one of the things on Lou's list, check the age of your roof, your heater, your furnace, is something on my mind today, too. How are you, Mr. Fix-It?
I am great. How are you?
Good. You sound nice. Show on Saturday, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I was so fascinated by the conversation. I don't think I sent you this text you had with a guy. People should go back and listen to, I hope it's podcast, the guy who builds the tiny little houses.
Oh, my gosh. It's so...
And you were so enthusiastic about it.
And it's like Lincoln Logs.
Yeah,
and
right.
So I literally want to buy one. I have no place to put one, but I want to buy.
I know.
I want to buy one.
Well, this guy put his in-laws in there when they came to visit, which I thought was
know.
Funny.
And I love it. I love businesses that are formed out of need.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And his mom said, "I need a place to stay to see my grandchild." And obviously, I'm focused on that with a new grandchild ourselves.
Yeah.
And,
congrats.
Thank you. And so I'm like, that. I love that. And he goes, and all of a sudden, we start building these things. And they're shipping them all over the country, which is amazing. And those Canadians are so nice that there's actually two very similar companies that do the same thing with similar names. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, just name it what you want. We're fine."
So they show up with a truck. It's got the world's biggest Lincoln Log set on the back. You and your buddies can do it in a weekend. What's the square footage of one of these cabins then?
It varies, but it goes anywhere from 10 by 10. All the way up to, I believe, it doesn't go 20 by 20, but it's something like 16 by 16. Their whole concept is that depending on where you live, you can build a 10 by 10 structure, stick it on the ground, and you don't need a building permit for it because it's classified as a shed. And so that's their secret sauce. Like, you need a bedroom. I mean, a 10 by 10 bedroom is perfectly reasonable for someone if that's what you were doing. But then they have some that have lofts. And, you know, some building codes have a restriction on how high it can be. But you've got a 10 by 10 room and then a little set of stairs that head up. And then you've got a loft up there with a mattress.
Sits on a platform or any platform.
Slab you decide of concrete
to put it in,
or yeah. Something like that. Right.
But then you still have to wire it and get heat in there. And you had thoughts about that as well.
Yeah. So these mini split systems, you know, it would be a perfect addition to something like that. You just got to run electric to it and you're done. No plumbing. I mean, certainly you could do that, but that's not what they're really meant for.
Maybe a warm room with a bed and a dresser and
right.
A place to be. You've got one.
Right.
Lou,
right.
So last night I'm listening to my furnace run. I think it's warm enough in this house. What temperature when I'm away from my house should I set my thermostat to so as to reheat it later on isn't, in fact, energy inefficient? What's a good target?
So the kind of the secret sauce there is typically no more than 8 degrees, 8 to 10, because what happens is, especially if you're going to be gone for, let's say you're gone for 4 or 5 days, the ambient temperature of everything in the home actually lowers as well. And so, you know, if you normally keep the house at 68, 70 degrees, whatever, you know, is comfortable for you, you wouldn't want to go down below. So if 70 is the
number,
you know,
yeah.
The number 62, maybe 60. But then keep in mind that if you have a you know, programmable thermostat, that you're going to give ample time for everything, not just the space there, but the ambient temperature of the couch and the carpeting
right.
And the chairs. Because
right.
You could walk into a home going, "Gosh, it's so chilly in here." Well, that's because the air temperature might be 70, but everything else is not up to snuff yet. And so the home isn't as comfortable. So you would need to give it at least a good 24 hours for everything to catch up.
Lou, good morning. Any suggestions on newer thermostats that are out there?
Yeah, actually, I just installed a couple of them. Everybody goes to the Nest and the Ecobee. Ecobee is a company out of Canada. They were actually the first ones to invent wireless thermostats. And I put one in probably 20 years ago because I had a sample set. It was really something. But Honeywell, that is really kind of the company that, for most of us, our furnaces and boilers, it's full of Honeywell parts. Whether you have a Trane, a Carrier, a Weil McLean boiler, there's Honeywell parts inside of there. They took all the technology that the Nest and the Google and everybody put together, and then they put together their what's called T9 wireless thermostat. And what I really like about the T9, if you go to honeywellhome.com, that's their website. We did a feature of on my show. They have a room sensor that comes with it. And so you've got your thermostat wherever it is in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
But then you can take the sensor that comes with this Honeywell Home thermostat and place it in your bedroom. So not only does it know what that temperature is and monitor it, but then you can tell the thermostat, because there'll be a temperature differential between those two rooms, you can tell it to read both rooms and then blend the temperature together.
Oh.
And the house is super comfortable. And I did it at my home. I've been impressed by how well it works.
That is so interesting, because on the second floor of our house, where the thermostat is, that room gets, say, warm, and then the rest of the furnace shuts down, but the rest of the rooms aren't being cooled. And if we want to heat those up, then our room gets too warm. So if we could meet in the middle with, like, a portable thermostat,
It's amazing. And it's, John, it comes with a little battery. You peel off the double-sided tape, and you're like, where do I want to put this? Right there, and you're done. You have to sync it, obviously, to the thermostat, but it's that simple.
Oh, wait. Sync it to the thermostat. Williams out.
You've got two smart young men that you can invite over.
Okay.
That are your sons.
Lou says, start planning what you need. Here's your Lou to-do list.
Yeah.
Where do we go?
Well, you know, I started when I sent that list to Pete is, you know, there's the things in our homes that we maybe don't think about. You know, I hear from people all the time, my furnace went out and now I need a furnace. And, you know, if you kind of plan for it and know the average age of things, it's a good thing to budget for. The roof is a big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the average life of a roof in the U.S. is 13 years. And when I tell that to people, say that to them, they're like, you're crazy. My roof's 20 years old. I go, I get it. But keep in mind, the average is, you know, God forbid, the average just went down because of the L.A. fires, okay? And or hurricanes that go through, you know, this roof gets replaced. But that is the average life. And if you've got a roof that's 15 years old, you should start planning to put money away to replace that roof in 5 years or in 3 years. Because, you know what, on average, it's a $20,000 proposition, right? This is not an inexpensive thing.
Yeah.
I just helped my, actually, when you and I talked, I think last week, I was helping my brother-in-law 2 weeks ago put in a water heater at his house. He came to me and he said, look, my water heater's 10 years old, and I just want to stay ahead of this thing. Can you help me do it? Well, that is the best way to do a water heater, as opposed to, oh my gosh, we have no hot water. It's leaking all over the place. And then you call a plumber. Mind you, I'm helping my brother-in-law, but for the average person, if you call a plumber and say, I need hot water right now, guess what? You're going to pay a little more, right? But if you plan it and get a couple of bids and you say, wow, my water heater's 10 years old, I think I'm going to go ahead and hedge my bet and I'm going to replace it now. How much would it be if you come next Tuesday? And you can budget for it and plan for it.
So know the age of your water heater. I suppose that's written on a sticker on the side.
So if you go to the sticker on the side, the serial number, the last two numbers of the serial number is the age, the year that your water heater was built.
Shut the front door. I did not know that.
09 or 10 or 21, the last two numbers on that serial number are the year that the thing was built.
Do I have a similar sticker on my furnace or the boiler if I've got hot water?
I'm not 100% sure, because it varies by manufacturer. But so the furnace, you know, talking about that, forced air furnaces, the industry talks about 15 years, and that's where you should probably think about it. I think the number's really more like 20. I mean, if you're someone that does a really good job of maintaining your furnace. And I'll give you an example. Our house, we have a furnace. It's 20 years old today. I mean, this year in 2025. And so we have been planning, you know, and putting money aside to replace it. And you know what? It's a furnace and air conditioning. And if you're going to do it, quite frankly, you should do your furnace and air at the same time. You should have like equipment. I'm a big proponent of that. So if you have a Train furnace, you should have a Train air conditioner. Yeah. It isn't that they can't be mixed and matched, but when there is a service issue, it's just so much easier for the technician because everything's the same. And I mean, even that, a forced air furnace in a, you know, a 3,000 square foot house, that's a $15,000, $16,000, $17,000 proposition for both systems if you're going to, you know, depending on if it's a high efficiency, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's at least 10. you know,
then start to think about it. So, Lou, just back to the roof for a second. Do you care what kind of shingles I put up there?
I don't care. Most manufacturers that are out there, they're all very similar. Most of what's happening now is what they call architectural shingles. Mm-hmm. They're a heavier grade. They look a little nicer. You can hardly find the old traditional three-tab anymore. It's still made, but those roofs typically start with a 35-year warranty. And so just like any of the other things that I just spoke of things you should be thinking about, I'm more concerned about the people doing the work than I am about the manufacturer of the shingle.
John, could you ask Lou if there is any way to bring the warm air near the ceiling down without a ceiling fan?
If you don't have a ceiling fan, then what I would do is buy a small fan that sits on the floor that you can angle up. Yeah. You know, you could do a box fan and lean it down, but that looks ridiculous. You can find these, you know, small, round, high-velocity fans, stick it in a corner, and angle it up and put it on low and push the air. And so that is a simple, you can hide it behind a plant. No one will even know it's there. And just put it on low. You won't even know it's running. And that will circulate the air, and you'll have essentially a ceiling fan doing the work without a ceiling fan.
Okay. All right. Anything you want to feature or highlight coming up on your show this weekend?
I think this weekend we're going to stay ahead and talk with the folks from the Chicago Auto Show that's coming up, because I'm going to be doing my show live from the auto show the Saturday that it opens. So we're going to talk about all the new cars out there. I know that you are, you are enamored, like you're on that fence about electric cars.
Yes.
I hear it in you all the time.
Yes.
You want to so buy in, but then
yes,
you just don't want to stick your foot all the way in.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about that, and I'm looking forward to it.
You guys have an EV, right?
We do. And I mean, you know, when I hear your discussions,
what was your battery life last week?
So the car that my wife drives has a normal range when it's warm of about 230 miles. And when it was really, really cold, it went down to 170, which kind of fits that, what you were talking about, like that 15 to 20% mm-hmm. loss.
Yeah.
But see, we are in a different spot where, we're fortunate enough to have a second home, and my wife mostly does city driving with the car. And if we go to our second home, which is about 65 miles away, we have level 2 chargers at both homes.
Yeah.
We have never charged the car at a public charging station, but we are able to do that. Most people, if they live in an apartment, can't. That's the problem.
In an apartment, but plenty of people have two cars. So if you
sure.
if your town car, a grocery store, pick up the kids yep. was the EV, you could have a gas car for when you go to North Carolina. Although buddies of mine over the weekend or over the holiday took their EV to North Carolina and back. And that was an adventure, you know.
Yeah, right.
They came back with the conclusion that we're not really ready for that.
We're not ready for that. I drive a diesel Chevy Silverado that when I get on the highway, that's our highway car, and it gets almost 30 miles to the gallon on
really?
The highway diesel. And
wow.
it's an eco diesel. So it's better for the environment than a gas car.
What are you paying for diesel right now?
$3.19.
Wow, because I'm about that for gas at the pump the other day.
Right.
Depending
right.
on, you know, where you're buying it. Lou Manfredini, you'll hear him Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on House Smarts Radio here on WGN. Nice to talk to you, Mr. Fix-It.
Take care, bud.